So what I've done is Paul B's come up and talk about another COTS review funded by DSTL, but this time looking at urban manual war games. Over to you, Paul.
And in this case, in the true spirit of jointery and coherence across DSTL, the framework that they developed at quite some expense we did not use for this study. So what we're going to do is discuss the project that we did. It's an ASC project, so there's a report that's been written. And whilst I'm not going to go into what ASC is, it basically meant that DSTL teamed with NSC for this. And they're the guilty parties. By the way, the Forlorn Hope is a badge of honour. It didn't mean what we thought when we were going to start to do this. But it also means that the views here, even though I'm not DSTL, are actually derived from a reviewed report. If I go off piste or you see a little red light here, that means that's not a DSTL view, and we can move on from there. We also do cover some of the, we're going to mention and call out games, named games in here and how good or bad they are. If there happen to be a designer of those games in the audience, then I will happily take questions. If it gets a bit too intense, Hyde Park, Dawn Tomorrow. So the aim of the study was this, and I'll let you quickly read that. So this was more focused than the AIR study in that DSTL knew exactly what they wanted to look at. They wanted a COTS urban war game for the land environment very specifically, and we'll come on to, they even knew the level that they were looking at as well in terms of level of effort. So it's more focused than the AIR study in that case, which was useful because they didn't have much time to do it. The key elements that I've pulled out, though, as you can see, are the analytical elements. This is not for training. This is not for understanding the problem. There's a very hard analytical element, and those of you that saw the evidence framework lecture understand what we're talking about here. And then also, it needs to tie into DSTL computer simulations, two of which I'll speak about later, one of which I'll probably get the acronym wrong for. And then we're going to sort of chat about that and also chat about some of the other things that came out as we went through what's available. Because it's the afternoon, you can walk out shortly after reading this if you wish. Oddly enough, because of the requirements we have, no single COTS product literally was the one that we could just pick up and use. And I don't think that's a huge shock because of the requirement to do this type of analysis and because of evidence framework analysis. We're asking a lot, and something, not only was it a lot, it was bespoke. So the odds of us getting exactly what we need aren't there. Interestingly, for the modern period, and we, as you'll see in the analysis, we sort of stretched that, mainly Des Fitzgerald, who sat here, guiltily stretched that in terms of the modern period. There aren't very many in the modern period, and we'll cover off why that is true. And one of the reasons is because actually, proper urban games are actually quite hard work. So City Fights, which is very high on the Grognard factor, is absolutely accurate, ticks lots and lots of boxes. It's maddeningly hard to play, and it takes forever to do. And so it's obviously not as commercially acceptable as, the obvious one is in the computer game Call of Duty, which everyone plays, you don't do 2 hours of guard duty. It's just not fun. Therefore, that level of realism just doesn't make it into these. But as also you'd expect, in very sort of Connections 101, excellent use, good design is good design. So some commercial best practice for understanding, what you're seeing, displaying units, etc., is something that you can always adopt. So the study need itself. DSTL basically needed to actually represent urban warfare. They knew this, and at the battle group, brigade, and divisional scale of resolution, it doesn't really matter if you don't know what that is, that's starting actually at quite low level, so small groups of people, right the way up to 5,000 people attacking a mega city. That's what they need to know. And the evidence goes directly to the army to make decisions on their doctrine, their equipment, and their concepts. They already have games that do this, so there's, as you're looking at it now, your bottom right is Khan, the close action environment, and your top right is WISE, which I'm going to take a punt at saying it's the War Game Infrastructure Simulation Environment. Not from DSTL, I won't get shot today. And of course, both of those, you interact with them in the middle like that through a computer screen. Now, Khan is a very busy tool, because it's a, as you can see, almost first-person perspective tool, very low-level tool, but it's very busy. So ideally, what the tool would need, the urban war game would need to do, is be able to take some of the heat off that game, the simulation, so that you can sort of focus it properly. At the higher level, within WISE, because it's a higher level of activity, so effectively you're aggregating, it's not individuals, it's actually squads and groups, what you need is to make sure that the tactical interactions that are programmed into those little blue, the sort of fixed behaviours, the black boxes, you know what's going on in them and you understand the interactions and they're valid. So again, that's another reason to use this tool is for that one. So those are the two feed-ins. So it has to represent everything the army needs to do in urban, and there's a lot, including future concepts, robots, not walking ones, various other things like that. And also it's got to feed into simulations that are particularly, for want of a better description, frowny. They're very hard on the analysis. Lots of things going in and out, lots of numbers in there. And something that will come up later on again, they've also got to represent classified data somehow, because of course it's the MOD. So at the very least, even if you make a comment such as tank A will destroy tank B, when the MOD say it, that has a different impact and potentially different classification than when I say it or when a, you know, Armageddon War says it. So the method we used, we very quickly scoped the requirements of DSTL to understand what they wanted, and what they wanted was a focus on the battle group level of activity, because currently at DSTL, the tools that they have, the manual battle group and the tools they have, aren't quite optimized. In fact, there are several areas where they had issues with it, and as I've said, you have a low level constructive simulation with CALM that only goes up to company level, and then WISE doesn't really dip down to battle group level in urban. The futures manual tool that DSTL developed also doesn't, for urban, also didn't do what they wanted it to do. So we focused on that. We also came up with some metrics, but as most of us involved in this, Les David, who's NSC and knows better than this, but Des and I were from the land environment, so we didn't actually come up with numbers. We had a traffic light system, but it still does the same. It still does the same thing, which is use the matrix to both identify the games and then down select to four, because that was the only time we had to play them, which will then reveal in a detailed qualitative assessment. The requirements themselves, you know, for this urban were, it must be able to cover off things, you know, from DSTL understanding, they already knew what they wanted. They've done a lot of this, they've got a lot of urban war games, and they've done a lot of historical analysis. So what they wanted were things like, well, it must be joint, it must replicate command and control. It may have to replicate actual named command and control networks. Clearly has to replicate all the terrain types you have, so the urban terrain zone classification from 1 to 8. People, it has to obviously have the population in there. The terrain has to be able to show the effects of weaponry. We have to be able to show different types of weaponry, obstacles, different types of enemy. So this is very much what we sort of call termed an at war. So it's not a named environment. It's not Fallujah 2004. It's not Berlin 1945. It is a generic war that hasn't happened yet and might. As a good example that, you know, we can chat about, before 7 Armour Brigade went into Basra in 2003, that was war game. So you have to have the ability to be able to turn these tools around to actually enable you to do our war and the war very rapidly. And also things like it needs to grow to future concepts. So for example, in the top right-hand corner there, the ability apparently of tanks to give birth to smaller tanks. So we use the matrix to pull out some suitable candidates. Remember, it's a modern warfare game. And it needs to roughly sit at the battle group level. And these are the candidates themselves. Interestingly enough, two of them, the Quay game and Into a Bear Trap, were magazine war games, which is just interesting. I've got nothing more to say about that, so that was interesting. the other ones that are identified, for the Khan model again, remember the one that looked very much like a first-person game, only a first-person game from 1986, those two rule sets there. So very popular, Force on Force and the entirely futuristic Drop Zone Commander. Force on Force you'd expect to be there because it's a rule set that works very well at that, although because it's miniatures, when you get above about 30 miniatures, the game will take a while. So if you want 1,100 miniatures, each of which can shoot at each other, that might slow the game down to a point where no one cares. And the second one, Drop Zone Commander, because it does urban very well, considering it's entirely made up and it's futuristic. So these are the ones we had to down select, and we used this particular matrix. So the requirements that I discussed earlier were then turned into this red, amber, green chart. Now, again, to avoid a duel in Hyde Park, red doesn't mean it's bad. Red meant there is no representation in the rules, and if we were to put representation in, it would take a lot of time, so very much, or it might break the rule system, which is potentially a danger of some very bespoke the war systems. Amber means, yes, there's some representation, and we might be able to, you know, or the ability to uplift to do that would be relatively easy. And green means it's basically done what we want it to do with minor modifications. The issue with for future studies, the issue with red is it covers no representation through to some representation, and also covers off, but adding in representation might break the rules. So red's quite a wide band there. And as you can see, we then classified individual unit size. CAM is combined arms maneuver, so does it do all the bits of the military that we need to do? We split up things like command and control and ISTAR, also added in things like fog of war. So is it useful to play a closed game? Can it be adapted easily to do that, or is it not? So for example, Phantom Fury is actually a solo play game, so the ability to turn that into a closed game or a fully blind game is arguably either very easy because it's solo anyway, or be actually quite complicated because the rules don't sit it. We didn't get that far. And also other more important things. So within urban, you know, how do you actually represent the different levels and who's on each level? Is that easy to do? And the other thing that we're very interested in as well is, you know, how you actually track all of this. So another requirement I've not spoken about yet is when you're playing this game, in 10 years' time, this is evidence for someone to have bought something or not to have done something. How do you track this? And take photographs of it so that in the future, firstly, the photographs aren't all secret out of the gate, because that's a problem, and secondly, so it makes sense in the future. And so that's what we did. So you can see Phantom Fury, no line of sight, because it was abstracted, but it did do day and night, and it doesn't do SEMA. In fact, very few actually did SEMA or cyber at the tactical level. And please don't ask questions of that one, because that's one of those, that's a very long answer questions. But it basically didn't do whatever we think cyber at the level that we're interested in, battle group level, was in urban. And beyond that, we'll move on. And as you can see there, Drop Zone Commander, the second one down, actually ticks an amazing number of boxes considering setting an alternate future and is against aliens. So that was quite useful. So we're going to move on with that one. So we've got all those games classified nicely, as with the Air War game, and then that drew out these. Urban Operations would be the obvious one to pick, because it's the most at war type game that, frankly, that there is out there. It's designed to cover several different types of war, and it does aggregate up nicely. Into a Bear Trap's excellent because it's modern warfare, but it's got that nice bit of asymmetry or non-state actors. Des's favourite, Berlin Red Victory, broke the system slightly in that it's technically not a modern war. It's not a modern war. But the actual dynamic, the advanced Brook system in there was very good, and so that was brought forward. And then also We Are Coming, Nineveh came in on David's suggestion, mainly because DSGL are looking to do a brigade level game, and actually We Are Coming, Nineveh looked like it was good. Unfortunately, I couldn't actually find any box art there, so quick competition, draw something, send it into Colin, they have their box art. So how did it all go? Again, the X's and the ticks don't mean it was bad, it's just plus and minus points. So as you'd expect, Urban Operations did very well. Tick nearly all the elements, you can uplift it. No SEMA in there, but that's not a bad thing if you just simply want as we talked about earlier with SEMA or cyber, if you just want a certain effect in there, well, that can be put into the game quite easily. And you need to design your own terrain. Berlin was very good, very dynamic and scalable rules. The downside was there was a concern that you need a lot of modification to modernize the mechanics going on in there. Nothing like civilians, nothing like tunnels, those kind of things. Into Bear Trap was good with the specialist weapons and an excellent pop-up randomized mechanic if you're playing the Chechens, which is you reach into a bag and pull out some soldiers and then you get what you're given. So a very good mechanic to indicate how militias and other people tend to work, which is sort of coming together in a slightly disorganized way. And we did like as well, We Are Coming, Nineveh. Good operational level game, and SIGINT and that use was very good. So the scale's out of scope for that, but one to watch in the future, and it gave a lot of insight into actually how a brigade game might look. And then finally, both Force on Force and Drop Zone Commander are going to be taken forward as well for the low-level Khan one, where frankly we have to go to a miniatures game. So wrapping up now for some insights. As I've said, none of them did exactly what we wanted, because what we want was quite difficult and very bespoke. As we said, dull things like how long does it take to clear, logistics, not really a priority, but that's something that needs to go into the game. And there are actually very few modern manual war games out there, especially when you add in must be at the battle group scale. So there's squad ones that are pretty good, and there are some high level ones as well, but actually not that many. And as you'd expect, World War II is hugely popular, Vietnam's pretty popular, because of course that's how you know how it went. You can actually design a mechanic, you have the Battle of Grozny. If your mechanic turns out results that don't look like what happened in the Battle of Grozny, then it's probably not representative. So that's relatively easy to do. If you're designing for an unnamed war, where a blue capability is going up against a red capability and you don't know how they interact, how do you know you've got it right? So that's much harder, and commercially you're not gonna do that. See, DSTA have the ability to reach into other sources to get better information on current systems. But commercially you don't, so you won't have those. And the other one is, of course, classifying interactions. So in other words, the comment we made earlier about if the MOD make a statement on that platform will defeat that platform, you might have a classification problem. And that comes with things even as silly as counters. If you're going to have a specific piece of equipment on that counter and another specific piece of equipment, even if you don't name countries, you can probably have, if someone takes a photograph, that could potentially be classified. Representing 3D in deformable terrain is really, really hard, and it makes tracking really, really hard. That was an issue that came out of that one. That is just hard and something you need to monitor. commercial presentation day was really good. So whenever they have the counters and the progress stakes and various little chips to show who's on the top floor and who's on the bottom, that works very well. And some of the design that they use makes things very clear. And so finally, analysis is different, therefore. You can't use a commercial game to do analysis straight out of the gate for the reasons we discovered. You need the evidence framework, and you're also feeding constructive sim, which is very difficult. You've also got to hide classified data, which is a consideration these games just don't have. There's also lots of stuff to represent as well, which they don't have to worry about. So there's a whole load of buzzword bingo there. Again, let's not get into cyber hybrid and definitions, just words up there for now. There's also future things that we have to represent. Again, a totally different space. How do you actually get a hover tank in there? Never giant walking robots, though. But tracking events smoothly is regarded the same whether you're just trying to play because it's a beer and pretzels game or whether you actually need to record this for 10 years' time for a decision. Ditto with generating representative interactions, as we've discovered. If it's not a representative interaction, as the old DSTL Urban Futures War game was, it breaks down when it hits the user. So good design means it gets is engaging and it gets engagement, and therefore you get, again, please don't get me what that might mean as a definition, but you get better evidence coming out of it.